gathered today, dear friends, on a very sad and solemn occasion. And yet, you're glad. A paradox, perhaps, but nevertheless, definitely true. There is sadness. There will be sadness always at earthly loss. And perhaps enhanced by the depths of the love and affection with which the departed one has been held. That sadness comes very, very close indeed to the very partner that life sought, especially the day. And the Lord be with us. And to us all, there is a very deep sense of sadness. The Lord understands this, my dear friend. Our beloved friend, the Lord's servant, was loved very, very dear and very, very deep by so many, far and wide. Be my privilege to know him now over 40 years, and I gather now and shall cherish the memory of the fragrant season we spent under his ministry and in fellowship with him. I'm not eulogizing the creature, my dear friend. I know my dear friend well enough to know he would say, don't say a word about me, but magnify my master, and that's what I would do. For the grace that was manifested in one of his children, how far he has been used of God will never be known, dear brother. But those things that he loved so dearly, yes, he was a man that loved the truth. He wasn't a man of beliefs. He was a man of convictions. He was not ashamed of them. He never withheld them as the Lord directed him in his utterance. He went hither and thither seeking to proclaim the glories of a risen Christ, whom he had been given to know and love. I can remember many seasons sitting under his ministry. One has come this last few days with very great fragrance, and that's many others. I remember him speaking some years ago now at Hailsham Chapel on an Easter Monday. And his theme was substitution, speaking from the incident of Abraham and us. I remember it because I've been trying to bleat a little as a lamb the previous Lord's Day and the same thing. But I remember one thing he said. I pass it on because of what it means to him now. He turned and he said to the congregation, what is substitution? And he stopped a moment, as you know he often did. And then he said, I know the usual answer. Jesus stood in our place and room and said, yes, yes, it's all right, he said. But I like it a little deeper than that. What is substitution? I could almost see him standing there with his arm raised and saying, it means this, Jesus became me. That's it. Where Charles Reed is to die, Jesus and him. Through the redeeming blood of the cross, he gathered his child out of these scenes of earth, scenes of the world. He equipped him, called him to serve in so many, many ways. Many of you here today have profited, I know, under his ministry and under his teaching. And I'm very, very glad today that some of our dear brethren here in the front row are healed. I know how you love. doctor's teaching. Now you will cherish the memory of it. And in the widest sphere, ah, my dear friend, we lost a servant of God. We lost one who was unable to speak and to write. Oh, he desired to do anything he could to magnify his master and to be used as he was sovereignly pleased for the extension of his kingdom. Yes, so we mourn today, very deep. Personally, I can hardly believe it's God. But I want to remind you, my dear friend, that there is something much deeper. I'm not underestimating the sorrow God knows, but there's something deeper. I want you to look upward. I want you, my dear sister, to look upward. Your beloved belonged to his master before he belonged to you. He belonged to his blessed Saviour and Redeemer before he belonged to any of us. And out of that amazing love that passeth all understanding, he came to redeem his child from the ruin of the fall, equipping and using him as I have said, but as though he spoke it personally, the child's breed, as he spoke it to his disciples of old, and he said, I go to prepare a place for him. If I go and prepare that place, I shall come again to see. And in the early hours of Wednesday morning last, the master, the Saviour, called the child. He was not, for the Lord took him. What he is entering into now, none of us adequately know. But we know this from the inspired record, that he sees his face. Sees his face too much. Oh, my God. That is the end of a redeemed soul. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? The heaven are thy credentials clear? Hast thou the proof of it? It's a solemn reality. We hear today in the midst of death. We're here today in the midst of the living. For it's but the frail tabernacle that we lay back into Mother Earth from whence it came. He is not here, he is with us. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is grace, my dear friend, in the consummation of it. If there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner brought to repentance, and there is, there's joy in heaven today in the gathering of a redeemed soul home. Where sorrow cannot come, where sin cannot end, nor the defiler can enter there, no limitation, but through a never-ending eternity. The sin, the pride of him who loved, him who suffered, bled, and died, him who in the consummation of his sovereign and eternal purpose has now gathered his child home. I remember hearing some years ago now an aged servant of God say this at a funeral service. He said, you know, death separates gathered of an in the divine seal of the witness, of redeeming blood and grace you'll never understand. I've often said to my own dear people, I wonder whether we, when we get home to glory, we shall understand such amazing grace. But nevertheless, is the portion yours in the sweet anticipation of an inheritance that is laid up in store. That's where Charles Bridge is to go. Not that they called him by that name. No, they called him by a new name. But that's it. And with all the sadness and the sorrow in the depths of it that we feel so much today, in the great loss that we have suffered from our midst, this is one of us here bringing back. And you've got a little grasp of what he now beholds, as I quoted. Now he can see and hear and know all that he desired and wished for. And every power is finding sweet employment in that eternal world that's yours. Ah, these things have a solemn meaning, might it have? The hour and article of death, you cannot put it off when the appointed time comes. But where will it find? The solemn matter. So that the Spirit of God might bear witness with our spirits that is well in our souls. For only thus shall we have the sweet assurance from. Only thus shall we be enabled to rest. The apostle said, it's not some wild fancy of the mind, not some metaphor we speak, but a living reality. The amazement is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My beloved brother in the Lord was a sinner, saved by grace, equipped in the sovereign purpose of God and you. Now his earthly service is ended, and his master has said, well done, good and faithful servant, for I believe in faith. Enter now into the joy of God. Oh, my dear friend, and the Lord sanctify the attachment. To never hear his voice today, we shall be able to read some of his writings, though many are unfinished. But still, he, being dead, still speaks. And may the reality of his eternal end dwell in our minds and hearts to the comfort and the sweetness of our own song. And may we, who found pride, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work for it is all a grace. The Lord grant to us each that grace that is needed, that understanding in which we are so dependent. May he drop the sweet portions of his word into our soul, that we may be nourished and fed with heavenly food, and grow in grace, and in the knowledge of him, the blessed, sweet, and glorious Redeemer, who saw fit to come down, suffer, grow, agonized, bleeding God, but suffering after death into eternal. We sing together the second hymn on the hymn. May this live equally. unknown, and hallelujah.